One Man's Family. Overheard between Jack and Fanny in the library.
Well, you can't help wondering what Maudie Pemberton said to Cliff to get him all fired up about getting a job. She's quite a gal.
She seems nice. Of course, I haven't had much chance to talk to her, but she seems quite nice.
Hey, don't you like Maudie?
Now, why would you ask that? I don't know her, Jack.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Yes, friends, Alka-Seltzer. First, fast, and always. Alka-Seltzer is first choice for relief of acid indigestion. First, because Alka-Seltzer contains an alkalizer that acts to reduce excess gastric acidity. First, because Alka-Seltzer soothes and settles your acid-upset stomach. And fast, Alka-Seltzer brings fast relief from acid indigestion. Fast, because Alka-Seltzer is a bubbling, refreshing solution that is ready to go to work instantly to help relieve acid-upset stomach. Yes, for fast relief of acid indigestion, always alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. For relief of acid indigestion, always keep Alka-Seltzer handy to give you fast relief from acid indigestion. Remember, Alka-Seltzer.
Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always. Chapter 4, Book 82. Members of the Barber clan drop in at the family home oftener than usual these days, or so it seems to Fanny. After a few moments of casual conversation, the visitor will say, "And how's Cliff's job hunting coming along?" All interested, all holding their breath. At this moment, late on a wintry afternoon, Jack Barber ducks across the hedge from his own house next door, and coming in the back way, finds his mother alone in the library, knitting beside the fire.
Hi there, Mom. Oh, don't get up. I didn't come to borrow anything.
Oh, Jack, aren't you home early from the office?
Oh, a little. How's Miguel?
Your cheeks are cold.
There's a breeze right off the polar ice cap this afternoon. Where's Dad?
This seems to be your father's day to be mysterious. I don't know where he is.
Oh?
You turn around to speak to him and he's gone. His car's been in and out of the garage since early morning.
Mad at him, are you, Mom?
No, but I will be if he's late for dinner.
Oh, he's probably doing something for Elwood. Maybe Dad drove over to San Rafael.
Fine time of day for that trip. Sit down, Jack.
No, I won't stay. I just ran in for a minute. Cliff home yet?
No, not yet.
The guy's really trying, isn't he, Mom? Betty was saying just now, you can't help wondering what Maudie Pemberton said to Cliff to get him all fired up about getting a job. She's quite a gal.
Seems nice.
Hmm?
Of course, I haven't had much chance to talk to her, but she seems quite nice.
Hey, don't you like Maudie?
Now, why would you ask that? I don't know her, Jack.
Well, you've seen her, Mom. I think she's a honey myself. So does Betty. A jolly kind of open-faced gal, we thought. Good for Cliff. Why, I don't remember any time in his life that he's gone after a job this way.
Well, it might have been all right if Clifford had come to this decision by himself. But I don't know why outsiders have to interfere with other people's lives.
Somebody came in the front door. Dad?
Hi, Jack.
Oh, it's Cliff. Come on in, fella. We were just wondering about you. How'd the day go?
Yeah. Hello, Mom.
Oh, Clifford, you look terribly tired.
No, I'm okay.
Any luck, Cliff?
Well, I'm learning how to get into offices. I just plant myself and wait till they say Mr. Besupis will tell you no now, Mr. Barber.
Oh.
Then I go in and explain how very, very available I am, and he explains how he can't use me, and that is that. Any phone calls, Mom?
Nothing for you, my dear. Now you stretch out in the Davenport, and I'll get you a cup of tea. It won't take a minute.
Okay, Mom, thank you.
Don't run away, Jack. I'll be right back.
Okay, Mom. Kind of rough, huh, Cliff?
Oh, I don't know how to do anything, that's all. They say, what have you done, Mr. Barber? And there ain't much I can tell them.
You keep whacking away at it like this, and you'll turn up something you can do.
Yeah. Well, I told Marty I'd get a job, and I'll do it if I walk my legs to the nubbins. And I better call her. What time is it? Yeah, she'll be home from the hospital by now. I sure hate to phone her every night with the same bad news. Pretty soon she'll think I'm not trying.
Betty and I like Maudie very much, Cliff.
Yeah, huh?
Dad did, too, I think. Betty says Dad hung on her every word when she was here for Christmas.
Maudie told Dad off one day, I guess. He likes a battle, you know. Hello, Maudie. Oh, did you just get in? Yeah, me too. Well, I went to about 8 places, Maudie. No luck so far, but I'm going to keep on going.
Wait a minute. Let me put my groceries down. Now, tell me all about it. Clifford, just forget that lack of experience stuff. You tell them this is a changing world and you want all cluttered up with outmoded methods. Don't apologize. Wait a minute, doorbell. Hang on, I'll be right back. Hold everything. I'm coming. Oh, Mr. Barber.
Good afternoon, Miss Pemberton.
Why so formal all of a sudden? Christmas, you were calling me Maud. Come on in. Hey, it's raining barbers this afternoon. I'm talking to another one on the phone. Would you excuse me a minute?
Maud, is it Clifford?
Yeah. He just got in from a hard day on the pavement.
Don't tell him I'm here, if you please.
Why?
I'll explain.
Okay, Mr. Barber, make yourself at home. Take your coat off this time. You know now I won't steal it. Clear? Yeah? Hmm? Oh, just an old pal of mine. Yeah. Suppose I said it was a male. You are too tired to be jealous. Well, you call me later. Yeah, I want to hear all about it. And more zip in the voice. If you don't get a job this week, you'll get one next. Chin up, kid. Bare chest to the breezes. Why, when you get going, you'll own this town, Cliff. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Hmm? You're good for the boy.
Look, we're old friends now, Mr. Barber. Don't stiffen up on the edge of your chair. You make me nervous. Here, relax. Lean back. Didn't your generation ever relax?
I can't stay long. Nobody knows where I am.
Shame on you. Don't you realize the position in which you place me?
I didn't say anything about this at home because I want to talk to you about Clifford.
What have you got on your mind?
First, let me say that I'm deeply grateful for what you have already done for Clifford.
Well, I'm just trying to give Cliff a hand up, Mr. Barber. You don't need to be grateful.
Yes, yes. Well, whatever you've done, you've galvanized Clifford.
Mm, that's a colorful remark.
Yes, yes. Clifford has been a drifter, Maud. Oh, charming, agreeable, delightful person. Good-hearted, yes. Clifford has wonderful qualities of character.
You're telling me.
Yes, but he has never worked. Yes. Oh, of course, briefly in the brokerage business when he got out of college. And he ran the Sky Ranch for his brother-in-law for a time, but there has been no wholehearted, thoroughgoing application, one might say. No driving ambition.
Just what are we getting at, hmm?
I wish to make my position clear because there is something I want to ask you to do.
Is it honest? With all this wind-up, it doesn't sound too honest.
The truth is, you may have to tell what Mark Twain used to call a stretcher.
Why, Mr. Barber, you shock me.
Oh, for Clifford's own sake, you know.
Mm-hmm. A stretcher.
Well, I want to be sure you understand my position. You see, it occurred to me this morning it would be a desperate, tragic thing if Clifford were unable to secure employment now.
Oh?
Yes. He's trying. The whole new world is breaking in upon him, and he must not be discouraged. Now, my advice to him, my counsel, help from me, in one ear and out the other, if it doesn't actually antagonize
him. Oh, dear, now what have you done?
Yeah. Well, I went to see an old business friend of mine from Montgomery Street. No, no, not the brokerage business. Clifford never did like that. This is George J. Gosson, surgical supplies.
Oh?
Yes, you see? It wouldn't be at all unlikely that you would know George, eh? Yes. And with a suggestion from you, Clifford would go there. Yes, yes. And he'd find himself employed, don't you see? Before he gets discouraged.
Devious, aren't you? Pretty crafty.
Well, it seems important to me, Mort. I don't want anything to go wrong with this spurt of ambition.
Yes, sir. Sly and crafty and kind of nice, aren't you? Did Mr. George J. Gosson need somebody of Cliff's abilities?
Huh?
Or did you offer to reimburse Mr. Gosson for Cliff's salary?
Huh?
Never mind. I get it.
Miss Pemberton, Maud, I don't know what I may have done to Clifford in the past, way back there sometime. Oh, perhaps it is my fault, but I've so wanted the boy to... Well, that is, he's most dear to me, and I... His mother says I fuss at him.
Look, Mr. Barber, was anybody mean to you in your childhood? Did you have any bad breaks? Ever get swatted in the eye?
Huh?
You didn't crack up under your childhood troubles, did you? So don't blame yourself for Cliff. Why, my old man was a tight-fisted, beetle-browed old pirate, but I didn't let him lick me. Cliff's got to do this one himself, on his own, without help from you. Or it isn't any good. Don't you see? You're a pretty nice old guy. And before you leave here tonight, I'm going to kiss you. Hmm? But you just let Morty give Cliff the hot sparks. I've got him hitting on all six, haven't I?
Yes, yes.
Okay. My mother used to say, if you can't find the kind of man you want, find some kind of man and make him over into what you want. So, don't you look so scared, Mr. Barber. I'm not really going to kiss you. Relax again. How'd you like a cup of tea?
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. It's double your money back if you don't like Bactine. That's right, double your money back, ladies, if you don't like this remarkable new family antiseptic made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. That's Bactine, B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine helps protect against the spread of infection. Yes, it's a powerful antiseptic and germicide that fights germs effectively. And this is important, it is soothingly gentle, does not hurt like harsher antiseptics, does not stain skin nor clothing. It has a fresh, clean odor, too. In addition to its antiseptic qualities, Bactine... Try Bactine 2 as a household and sick room disinfectant and sanitizer. As I said, Bactine is a remarkable product. You'll agree once you've tried it, and we want you to do that on our no-risk, double-your-money-back guarantee. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist and use it. If you don't think it is the finest all-round antiseptic and germicide you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Yes, find out for yourself on this no-risk offer how wonderful this amazing new family antiseptic is. Be sure you ask for B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. Here's the family again.
Yes, yes, it's been a very pleasant interview, Miss Pemberton. Maud, good night.
Here, you cutie. Wait a minute, you're going to get that kiss.
Good night, Miss Pemberton. Good night, my dear.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, The Conquering Hero, Chapter 5, Book 82. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.